Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
Last week, we began a teaching entitled Teachings of Jesus. And so tonight we're going to be going over the second part that I believe the Lord wants us to look at. And last week we talked about Mark chapter 4. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to just open it up there. Just find Mark chapter 4 and go down to about verses 24 and 25. And I'll give you just a second to do that. But the Bible says in Mark chapter 4, Jesus is talking about the growing seed. He is talking about this work of the kingdom of heaven that happens when the seed of God falls into the life of a believer, of an unbeliever, when God begins to do a work in us. But before he discusses that, before he shares that, he gives the disciples a very important message. And that was this, in Mark 4 and 24, he says, "Be diligent to understand the meaning behind everything you hear. For as you do, more understanding will be given to you. And according to the depth of your longing to understand, much more will be added to you." He says, "For those who listen with open hearts will receive more revelation, but those who don't listen with open hearts will lose the little that they think they have." And so, church, as we began this teaching last week, something that the Lord has impressed upon my heart was this, is that the Lord is doing a new work in us, amen? The Lord is doing a new work through us, and he's doing a new work around us. And I want us to kind of have this reset mindset, if you will, to say, you know what? Whatever the former was, we have to just test it with the Spirit now, amen? That is, whatever our past was, that doesn't mean that God's going to bring all the things from the past into this new future that he has for us. Amen? How many of you believe with me tonight that this pandemic will end? Amen? I am believing wholeheartedly that this pandemic will end. But I believe that as this pandemic ends, it's also doing something in the church. God is doing something in the body of Christ right now. And so we need not be impatient for the pandemic to finish, but we need to be alert and we need to be aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life for what he wants to do in us today. Amen. And so Mark chapter 4 and verse 26 and 27 was the passage of scripture last week that we covered. And I want to just touch on this again before we continue the lesson tonight. It says, "And he also says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or he gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how." And so in the verses that we read, Jesus is the sower, the seed is the gospel, and the ground is the hearts that would receive the seed, either a believer individually or as a church collectively, amen? And so I want us to understand a few things. Soil necessarily doesn't have the ability it has the ability to receive the seed. That is, it receives what is given to it, but in its matter, in itself, it doesn't necessarily do anything beyond what it can receive. Amen. And so, what it receives, it can reproduce. What it receives, it can grow. But if it fails to receive something or it's hardened, it's not going to produce anything in the life of the person that has either rejected it or received it. And so last week, we talked a lot about the work of Jesus. We talked about the work of Christ in us. And so we talked a little bit about great faith and talking about great faith doesn't come out of great efforts, but rather great surrender. This soil is surrender to whatever will fall upon it. If you plant weeds, weeds will grow. If a seed of the gospel, though, falls on that soil, it will produce something. It will grow. And so it's kind of susceptible to whatever is around it to receive. And so the word last week had a lot to do with you and I being of complete surrender and submission to what the Lord wants to do in your life. Amen? And so we realize that we are co-workers in the kingdom. That is, you have a place in sharing the gospel. You have a place in spreading this seed throughout the world, throughout the communities, throughout each and every individual that you meet. Amen? But the word that God wants us to understand is this, is that there's also the factor where this seed has an effect on our life. And it must have an effect on our life in order for us to effectively share it. Amen? That is that you have to have fully received something to be able to give it away. Until you fully receive something, until you have fully surrendered your life to this gospel, until you fully surrendered your life under the lordship of Jesus, then and only then can you effectively give it away. The disciples found themselves working alongside Jesus for a few years. And they were with Jesus for 3.5 years of his ministry. And the Lord worked through them. That is, they witnessed the miracle of feeding the thousands, and they laid hands on people and they were healed. But this is not where their ministry began. Their ministry began when the Holy Spirit filled their life and when the Holy Spirit descended upon them. Their ministry began when the Holy Spirit descended upon the lives of these men who had chosen to follow Jesus. Now, I have to say this because I believe this is a step in our salvation. The moment that you said yes to Jesus, the moment that you said yes to Christ, that was the new birth. That was you being reborn in that moment. But then there's a period of time where you have to fully surrender yourself. You see, surrender didn't just happen for the disciples. The Bible says that Peter, even the days before Jesus was about to be taken into captivity, and before he was about to give his life for you and I, the Bible says that Jesus knew that Peter would fail him. Jesus knew that Peter was going to deny him 3 times. That meant that there was this lack of surrender in the life of Peter. He hadn't fully given up, though he thought he had. And dare I say, somebody is listening tonight, you think you have fully surrendered yourself to Jesus, but yet there's areas of your life that you continue to struggle with. There's parts in your life where you just can't believe that fear takes over those moments, and you say, God, I want to be used by you, Lord. I want to be just, Lord, touched by you, Lord. I want to be, Lord, a vessel, God, in your kingdom, Lord, but God, I can't get over this. I can't get over this sin, Lord. I can't get over this struggle, God. I can't get over this fear, Lord, that I have. And so when those things are more prevalent in your life than the work of God flowing through your life, it's because maybe you haven't fully surrendered. You say, well, Pastor Duke, I've been in church for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. You know, I've heard every sermon in the book. Listen, that's fine. That's fine. But that doesn't mean that you have fully surrendered. A fully surrendered individual duplicates, replicates, and does what Jesus did. The model that he showed us, the model that he lived his life with in connection to the Heavenly Father, the way that Jesus exemplified having kingdom authority in his life, and by releasing it upon everybody he met and everybody he encountered, is the exact same way, church, that he has called you and I to live. There's a very powerful verse in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, and it says this. It says, for in him we live and we move and we have our being. You see, everything that we do must come under the lordship of Jesus Christ, whether in word or whether in deed. Amen? Whether you're at home, you know, you see, because it's not just a switch that you turn on and off when you come to church. All of a sudden you're worshiping God and you're blessing God and you're praising God and you're doing the church thing in church, but then you go home and you're a completely different person. Maybe some of your families have not seen that transformation in your life because it's not a switch that you turn on and off. It's complete surrender. It's complete surrender. I believe the Lord is looking for surrendered individuals in these last days. Amen. He is looking for people that have finally said, Lord, I have given up my rights. For me to live is not gain. For me to die, though, in Jesus is full gain. For me to live as Christ is gain. You see, it's about dying to myself and it's about living in him that we can see the kingdom flow through our life, amen, flow through us. And so I believe the level in which we've encountered him is revealed in the results in which others will experience him through us, amen. That is, you know, I've had conversations with people about conviction. And sometimes people say, well, I'm not convicted about that. I'm not convicted about what I watch. I'm not convicted about what I listen to. I'm not convicted about what I eat or drink. You know, none of those things bother me, Pastor Duke. You know, I think I'm fine the way that I am. No. That's revealing more so your ability to have noticed the fact that you haven't surrendered. Conviction has everything to do with closeness to God. Amen? It has everything to do with how passionately and how close you are following Jesus as Lord. You cannot be close to Jesus and have a completely different heart. Jesus says, you're either for me or you're against me. You either build or you tear down. You are either gathering or you're scattering. He said, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And if there is a division in your heart and you haven't completely surrendered, listen, I want to encourage you today. It's time to give up. It's time to say no to the flesh. It's time to say, Lord, I give up my rights, God, because I want to serve you, Jesus. I give up everything I am today, Lord, because I want to serve you passionately. I want to serve you passionately. I told the worship team before we started service tonight, I said, listen, this is just the beginning of ministry. This isn't the end. This is just maybe the starting point or the platform. And listen, we all have a starting point. It could be in your home. It could be in your workplace. You know, it could be serving in church. It could be doing something in ministry. Whatever the starting point is, I believe that it doesn't just finish with ministry. But I believe it comes full circle to where we see the kingdom working through our life. Jesus said, and these signs will follow them that believe. These were the signs that there would be the dead raised through their life. There would be the sick healed through the laying on of hands from those people. There would be God at work flowing through them passionately. You see, Pastor Duke, you know what? I'm not a witness. Pastor Duke, I'm not an evangelist. Pastor Duke, I'm none of these things. Listen, you are who Jesus says you are. Amen? And if God says that you are a person that is more than a conqueror, if God says that you are a vessel used for his workmanship, used for his glory, used for his power and his authority, then you need to believe that in your life today. I said, you need to receive that in your life today and understand that God can use anyone, amen? It doesn't matter what limitations you might think you have. It matters who Jesus says you are, amen? This is the final say-so, and he has the final say-so in your life as well, amen? And so we have to understand, church, that the Lord wants to do a work in us. He wants to do a work in us. It's faith and works brings life. Not faith without works is dead. God wants you to not just have faith, but he wants to see the movement of the Holy Spirit flow through your life through works, church. Likewise, works without faith is dead. And so the Lord is bringing us back to this perfect union of the way that he established us to live. By faith and by works, amen? So that wherever we go, life is born. That wherever we go and wherever we walk, life is born. Life is following us and not death. There is life that is radiating off of your life because you speak a word of blessing over somebody. There is life that is radiating over your life because you have released something into somebody's life. You have spoken blessing over them. You have prayed for their life and you saw God unleash something to them. This is where the Lord is calling us back to in these last days. Amen. He doesn't want us to just be those people that look at the wind. We read Ecclesiastes 4 last week. It says this, whoever watches the wind will not plant, and whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. He says, as you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. He says, but sow your seed in the morning, And at evening, let your hands not be idle. He says, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. I believe that what this verse is saying to us is watching the wind and the clouds sounds incredibly boring. And this equates to having gone to church for years and never following through with what you've been taught. Nothing makes a parent more proud of their children is when they do what they've been taught. When all the things that a parent has instilled into their children begin to come to fruition. Because as parents, we know that we're not going to be around forever for our children. We realize that we are up against the clock, and so every moment, every day is precious. But the beauty of the kingdom is this, is that our Father is never going to leave us. But our time on this earth is temporal, church. The time that you have to make an impact in the life of somebody else is marked. It's not going to last forever. And so we have to choose wisely every single day. We have to choose wisely every single opportunity that we have to witness to somebody. Amen. Surrender is submitting ourselves to what he is asking, and it's denying what we are comfortable with. Amen. And so the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, and you will be my witnesses. It says, well, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. When you have had an encounter with Jesus, I said, when you've had an encounter with the Almighty God, it changes everything about your life. And maybe somebody today has hardened their hearts to the idea that they could actually have an encounter with the God of the universe. Well, I'm here to tell you today, it can happen. I said, it can happen. All you've got to do is open your heart to him. All you've got to do is just say yes to him. All you've got to do is say, Lord, I am done, Lord, trying to live for myself. And I want an encounter with your power. I want an encounter with your presence. And I want an encounter with your spirit today. What power does in the life of a believer is it denies fear. It denies timidity. It denies comfort levels. Amen? And so if the Holy Spirit is in your life, is upon your life, you will be witnesses. Amen? That is, you will share of the kingdom that you have received. The Bible says, for the Spirit of God, the Spirit that God gave us does not make you timid. But it gives us power, it gives us love, and it gives us self-discipline. It says, so do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. Amen? And so I believe that the Lord is looking for people in these last days to completely surrender everything that we are to him. Amen? And so as we continue in the second part of this message tonight, last week we finished on this note again, until we have fully received the work that the Lord, Christ as Lord rather, then we can fully share him with the world around us. Now I want us to understand, now this doesn't mean that the Lord can't use us. We saw in the lives of the disciples that they were a part of signs and wonders and miracles before they had fully surrendered. But it wasn't until the Holy Spirit came upon them and Christ ascended to heaven that the fullness of their witness really began. Amen? And so we are witnesses that share of his goodness in our life. That is, he has supplied you and I with the kingdom. He has supplied you with access, church, to power. He has supplied you with authority. He has supplied you with the ability to love the unlovable. He has supplied you with the ability to reach the unreachable. Amen? And so this happens through by the way of loving others. It happens through caring for others, through sharing the gospel, through praying for others, through witnessing of him who saved you and spreading the seed that the next believer might water. But listen, God and only God can bring the increase. God and only God can bring up something inside of the life of a person that has received him. And that growth is the seed. Only God can bring that into fruition. Only God can make that happen, amen? And so when you sow into the life of somebody, God makes it grow, amen? But there cannot be growth of God's kingdom without the people of God doing the work. I said there cannot be growth of God's kingdom without the people of God sowing into our families, sowing into our communities, sowing into our schools, and sowing into our workplaces, amen? And so sowing into the lives of people, they take our natural action and they merge it, or they couple it, or they co-labor it with the supernatural. Amen? There's always, the way the kingdom of heaven works is there's always a realm of obedience, of natural obedience that begins the work of a supernatural work in the life of somebody. Amen? The Lord said, listen, give and you shall receive. And so there's this action to give on earth. It's not just, well, Lord, I gave you my prayers in my mind, or God, I gave you something just internal that there was no action, outward action involved. But whenever there is outward action involved, that's when the Holy Spirit breathes upon that work. He breathes upon it and he allows it to accomplish everything that it was sent to do. But I need to reiterate the fact that this is where our faith, church, meets our actions. I said this last week, I'll say it again tonight. God is not interested in full minds only. The Lord isn't just interested in people that are just full of all this knowledge but do nothing with it. But rather, he's interested in full hearts that will reveal his goodness. Amen? If you've ever met a person that just came to Jesus, or you've ever met a person that just received a miracle, listen, there is no stopping what they're about to tell you. Amen? I don't think that they have any ounce of shame in their life. I don't think they have any ounce of fear in their life in that moment when they have received something from God. I remember in the scripture, the Bible says that Jesus healed, I believe it was a leper, and when he healed this man, he had given him instruction not to tell anybody. He said, for my time has not yet come. But the Bible says that this man could not contain it within himself. He had to go out and tell somebody. He had to share of what Jesus had just done in his life. And dare I say, you have received an encounter. You've had an encounter with the Almighty God. Then listen, church, it's got to flow out of your life. You've got to tell somebody about his goodness. You've got to tell somebody about his faithfulness. Amen? And so God is revealing his kingdom to those who are listening and those who are willing, to those whom he can trust to be and do and live out his word. And so when the seed of this gospel is received in any person's heart, growth is inevitable. I said growth will happen. But Jesus goes on to say something very interesting in regards to growth. And so this is in Mark chapter 4 and verse 28. If you have your Bible, just open it there. Mark 4 and 28. It says, all by itself the soil produces grain. First the stalk, and then the head, and then the full kernel in the head. I want us to pray for tonight's word. Holy Spirit, we love you. And Holy Spirit, we just bless you. We pray tonight, Lord, that you would just speak, Lord, to us. May every heart be open, Father God. May every ear receive your truth, God, and the power of your word, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen and amen. That scripture says, all by itself the soil produces. And so there's an element to which God capitalizes on and the enemy tries to condemn with. And it's soil, it's dirt. It's the dirty situations of life that you have experienced that God can use, church, to teach us what great mercy looks like. I'm sure that you can agree with me tonight and know that not any one of us was worthy to receive his love. The things that we have done before the sight of God or before the sight of men is too detestable to even share. But the fact is that it's because of his great mercy. It's because of his great power. It's because of his great love that you stand here today. While dirt or soil is often ignored, when a beautiful flower sprouts from the ground, it's the very element that God has chosen to produce a fruit of righteousness in your life. It is the very thing that the Lord has chosen to allow to form up of it, something that was once just mud and it was filthy and it was dirty, but yet out from that place it forms something beautiful. It forms something to be cherished. It forms something of value. And so no one praises the soil that the flowers are planted in. You know, I've never seen anybody, you know, look at a garden and say, man, that's awesome dirt. Nobody says those kinds of things. Nobody praises the soil from where the flower comes. They admire the flower. But the truth is without the soil, that wouldn't be possible. The flower wouldn't be possible to exist without the dirt that it is planted in. Amen? And so what the enemy would use against us as evidence of impurity, God saw as an opportunity to send his son to die for our sins. I said, what the enemy would use as evidence of impurity, that is the things in your life that you have done, that you know have made God turn his face, that you know have broken the heart of God, that you know were detestable in his sight, the very thing that the enemy would try to use and pinpoint as evidence in this case against your life, against you being a sinner, God saw as an opportunity to send his son to die for your sins. Amen? And so it was the sins, it was the dirt of Mary Magdalene, that so-called church leaders, that there were people in Jesus' day that thought disqualified her from knowing Jesus. They thought the very works that this woman had committed, the very sins that she had committed, had fully condemned her. That is, that she would never be known by God or known by Jesus. It was the fact that she was a prostitute woman who had shamelessly profited from selling her body for the pleasure of others. People around her, they knew her history and they knew her shame. And to her shame, the Pharisees, those were the teachers of the law in the temple. Those were the ones that thought they knew God. They were the ones that kind of set the rules. They were the ones that said that this is what God is doing. But yet the Bible says that they themselves could not even fulfill all of the laws, all of the commandments that they had made for the people under them. Really, all they were is nothing but more than people of religious control. They were trying to control people. They were trying to have the upper hand on society. They were trying to dictate who could and who couldn't come to God. They disqualified her from even being acceptable by God because of her sins. They shunned her and they looked down on her because they said there's no way that God would ever accept her. She is labeled impure. And one day the Bible says that Jesus was invited into the home of a Pharisee. And the Bible goes on to say that as they were eating dinner, a woman who had lived a sinful life brought this alabaster jar of expensive perfume. And when she had showed up to this place, when she had showed up to this home, the Bible says that she was so moved to be in the presence of Jesus. She was so moved to be in the presence of the Lord. She was so moved in that moment that she wept bitterly. That her heart swelled up, not just because of the wrong things that she had done, but because she knew that Jesus carried the authority to forgive her of sin. And the Bible says that she cried so much that her tears began to cover the feet of Jesus. And as she wept, so she knelt down and she was wiping tears off of his feet with her hair. And she kissed his feet and she began to anoint his feet with perfume. She began to anoint him in that moment, right there where he was sitting, right there in that moment. She began to anoint him. She began to just worship him. She began to praise him. She began to just offer this sacrifice of her love to him in this moment. And when the man who invited Jesus into his home, he said these words. He said, if this man is a prophet, and he was talking about Jesus. He says, if this man is a prophet, he would know who was touching him and what kind of woman she is, a sinner. She is a sinner. And in that moment, the Pharisee was more concerned with getting defiled, and that is being associated with such a high-class sinner, than getting the defiled to Jesus. This is what the religious spirit does. It pushes people out. It tries to remove their access from Jesus. Because you have pre-condemned them from even touching him. You've said you don't look like you belong in church. Your lifestyle doesn't reflect a person that should be in a church. You might be covered in tattoos, or you might have piercings all over your body, or you might have scars all over your life. And you look at those things and you shun those people. And you say their hair's not combed enough, or their beard's not shaved enough, and their clothes isn't ironed enough, and they don't have the appearance, they don't have the right look, they don't have the right belief, they're not ready. There's no way that they can come to this Jesus. And this is exactly what the Pharisees were doing. And dare I say that this might even be some in the church. That is, you are more concerned with looking clean and not getting dirty on the outside than understanding the heart of Jesus. You say, I've got to look a certain way. I can't be seen talking to those people. I can't be seen hugging somebody that doesn't look like me. I can't be seen with somebody that's lifestyle doesn't match up with my lifestyle. And all of a sudden you put this wedge, you put this division between them and Jesus. You put up this wall, you put up this barrier that was never intended to be there. And so your concern could be not getting dirty on the outside, and you're forgetting the heart of Jesus. And that is to bring purity, and that is to bring righteousness to anyone that he comes in contact with. The Bible says that he alone has the power to forgive sin. And the Bible says that when we come to him, that he has separated our sin as far as the east is from the west. And he remembers it no more. He says, though your sin was as like crimson, now you're going to be made white as snow. Now you're going to be completely transformed by the blood of Jesus. But Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but it's the sick. See, he hasn't come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners to repentance. And this woman was the perfect example of that. Luke chapter 7 and verse 44. And this is Jesus. He's speaking now to this Pharisee. He says, then he turns towards the woman and he said to Simon, that's the Pharisee, he says, do you see this woman? He says, I came into your house and you did not give me any water for my feet. But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. He says, you did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. He says, therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loves much. It says, but he who has been forgiven little loves little. It says, but then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. You see, it doesn't matter how filthy in sin you have been, because God can use the dirt in your life to produce an unseen harvest. It doesn't matter how filthy in sin somebody else has been. It doesn't matter the condition that they come to Jesus. That condition does not matter. The Bible says that his unconditional love, it pours over their life. And as they receive that love, all of a sudden they are washed clean and they are made new. And this work of God begins to happen in their life. Amen? But we often forget, church, we often forget in the lives of both believers and unbelievers, God's seed is planted in the soil of your hearts, and it has to get down into the roots before he can grow you up in righteousness. It has to be fully received in your life before transformation comes. You see, a lot of people could accept Jesus right now, today, and there may never be an evidence of transformation. It's until that seed has finally hits the bottom of their heart, then all of a sudden they have fully received God. But there is a work happening. I said there is a work happening in their life. God is doing something in that soil. God is doing something in that dirt. God is doing something in those filthy places in their heart. And one day it is absolutely sure that a harvest of righteousness will sprout forth. Amen? And so Jesus said that the soil produces. The soil produces. That is, it's got to reach the most wretched places of your life in order to have the best results. It's got to reach down those deepest places in your life where you have cut the heart of God in order for the best results to be formed. And sometimes you have to let the dirt do its work. It's until you open your hearts to let the seed hit the areas of sin in your life can it produce a harvest of righteousness in us. But if we conceal sin, if we hide sin, then the seed is stunted. That is, if you shield, you block off that area of your heart and in your life, then all of a sudden the work of God comes to a halt. And dare I say, for those of you who have been in the church years, you've said, well, Pastor Duke, you know, I just kind of know it all. And you know, I've been there and I've done that. And listen, if there's something in your life that you're not allowing God to address, I hear people hide behind the facade of, well, I'm not perfect. Listen, nobody's perfect. In fact, we're all sinners. We all fall short of God's glory. But hiding behind the condition of being imperfect is also giving way for the devil to have a footstool in your life. Because the Lord wants purity. Amen? I said the Lord is longing for righteousness. The Lord is longing for people, once again, who have gotten so close to him that you cannot see where the branch begins or the vine ends, or the vine begins and the branch ends. The Lord is looking for our hearts, church, to be so impacted by this seed of the gospel that we have received that we look and we imitate and our lives are worthy to be followed. Paul made a bold statement when he said, follow me as I follow Christ. Some people say, well, you know what? Just follow Jesus. Just keep focused on Jesus. Yes, he is the author. He is the finisher of our faith. But what Paul was trying to say is that your life needs to be so much about Jesus that you're worthy to be followed by somebody else. You see, don't believe the disclaimer that you don't have to be, you know, live a righteous life in order to be, you know, a person that is worthy to be followed. Listen, you need to live righteously. You need to allow the seed of the gospel to transform your life. The work is not over. Amen? I said the work is not over. The Bible says it's until he returns that we are made whole and we are made complete. Paul said, I have not obtained all of it. Therefore, I press on towards the prize. Therefore, I press on towards the goal of Christ. And so, church, we have to understand this. That is, you'll never fully become, as a believer, all that God has intended you to be. And that is, you will not sow into the lives of others because you're too afraid of getting dirty. Then you need to allow the seed to take deeper root in your life. I know a lot of Christians, I know a lot of people that I've come across with that say, hey, listen, you know, you can't be doing that. I'll never forget years ago when I was just starting ministry back in 2004, 2005, I was a youth pastor and had the privilege of going out with one of my leaders, and we went to like a Chili's or Applebee's or one of those places to go eat lunch, and we were sitting there and we were talking, and I remember I had ordered a root beer, and root beer was one of my favorite drinks, you know, sometime back. And I ordered this root beer, and this root beer was on the counter, or on my table, rather. And they serve the root beer at the Chili's and at the Applebee's, and it looks like a alcoholic beverage. And so somebody that just so happened to be at the church was in that restaurant at the time, and the next thing I know, I get called into a meeting. Because Pastor Duke's drinking at the bar at Chili's. And that wasn't the case at all. It was root beer, and I was drinking root beer, and I explained to Pastor, and I explained to people, and I said, no, that's not what was happening. And listen, and sometimes there's this thing that happens that you want to become so on this side to identify yourself as a believer and as a Christian that you will not have any kind of association with a person that may do things that you don't agree with or you don't believe. Does that make sense? And so there's this thing that you're trying to be so much on the safe side of right that you won't associate with the unrighteous. Now for me on that day, that wasn't the issue. But the truth of the matter is this, is that some people, the longer they sit in church and the less they do the work of God, this begins to happen in their life. Where they have drawn a line of division and they said, listen, I'm just going to be on this side and I'm not going to associate with that side. Jesus exemplifies this perfect. And so when you do not sow into the lives of others because you're too afraid of getting dirty, this is actually a hardening of your heart. That is, the Bible often talks about rain, and when the Bible speaks about rain in the Old Testament and the New Testament, it's actually descriptive of the Holy Spirit. And so when you have encounters with the Holy Spirit, the soil of your heart is softened and it's able to receive. But if you think that you have no sin to deal with, then it becomes a hardening agent that stiffens your ability to receive the work of Christ in your life, thus choking out the seed. It nullifies the work of God in your life when you think you've got nothing left to deal with. The Bible says that the Lord receives the humble, but he rejects the proud. Maybe there's been something in your life that you've had, it's been there, and you just haven't dealt with it. That is, you've allowed that soil to become hard. My friend, if you long to be a person, a vessel to be used by the fullness of the power of the Lord, to see God's will just worked out through your life, then you must give these spaces to the Lord. You must allow the Holy Spirit to touch that area so that you can be completely freed, so that you can be completely broken through, so that your life can do everything that Christ intends to do through it. Amen? And so it's okay to admit that we have some dirty situations in our lives. That is, it's okay to see that others might be caught up in the mud and mire. But Isaiah 61 and 11 says this, "For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow," it says, "so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations." Psalms chapter 40 and verse 1 says this. It says, "I waited and I waited and I waited some more patiently, knowing that God would come through for me." It says, "Then at last he bent down and he listened to my cry, and he stooped down to lift me out of danger from the desolate pit that I was in, out of the muddy mess that I had fallen into." It says, "Now he's lifted me up into a firm and secure place, and he has steadied me while I walk along his ascending path." It says, "A new song for a new day rises up in me every time I think about how he breaks through for me." It says, "Ecstatic praise pours out of my mouth until everyone hears how God has set me free." It says, "Many will see his miracles. They'll stand in awe of God and they'll fall in love with him." It says, "Blessing after blessing comes to those who love and trust the Lord." It says, "They will not fall away, for they refuse to listen to the lies of the proud." It says, "O Lord our God, no one can compare with you. Such wonderful works and miracles are all found in you." It says, "And you think of us all the time with your countless expressions of love, far exceeding our expectations." It says, "It's not sacrifices that really move your heart. Burnt offerings and sin offerings, that's not what brings you joy." It says, "For when you open up my ears and you speak deeply to me," it says, "I become your willing servant, your prisoner of love for life." It says, "So I says, here I am coming to you as a sacrifice." That means that we are the sacrifice. It says, "For in the prophetic scrolls of your book, you have written about me." And it says, "And I delight to fulfill your will, my God." It says, "For your living words are written upon the pages of my heart. I tell everyone everywhere the truth of your righteousness. And you know I haven't held back in telling the message to all." You see, it does not matter how much mud you've gotten yourself into. What matters is what Christ produces in your life. Amen. I'm here to remind someone that when Jesus pulls you up from the mud, it's going to manifest miracles through your life. That is, when you've been drenched in dirt, as long as you touch him, you will be made white as snow. And so in this season, church, you have to let the dirt do its work. But even when we don't see it, like the song we said, he is working, amen? Even when we don't feel it, he is working. And so I'm here to remind you, church, that you've got a new song. You've got a new testimony to share. That is, you were once lost, but now you are found. Hallelujah. That is, you were once blind, but now you see. You were once weak, and now you are strong. You were once poor, but now you are rich. You were once dead, but now you live. I was once far away, but now I am forgiven. Isaiah says that God will make you righteous. God will make you righteous, and praise will spring up before all nations. You see, this is a picture of growth in the body of Christ. This is the picture of growth that the Lord wants to accomplish in every single person that has received that seed of His love. This is what God is trying to accomplish in your life, church. The blood of Jesus. I said the blood of Jesus' sacrifice makes you righteous when you come to Him in faith. And Mary Magdalene, she identified Jesus as Lord, and her sins, that is her dirt, it did not tarnish Jesus, but rather it brought glory to Him. She anointed Him with oil. This was her act of worship. This was her act of praise. In response, Jesus said this, "Your sins are forgiven," and she was made righteous. Galatians chapter 3 in verse 11 says, "Clearly no one is justified before God by the law." It says, "Because the righteous will live by faith." And the law is not based on faith. It says, "On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them." Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." It says, "And He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles," that's you and me, "through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit." The Lord wants to produce something in your life today. Open up the chambers of your heart to receive the work that Jesus did for you. Open up the areas of your life where you say, "Well, Pastor Duke, you know, I've gotten stuck, I've gotten stagnant, I've gotten so used to the routine, I've gotten so used to just the way things have always been." Listen, the Lord wants to do something new in your life. And it will happen when we open up every single chamber of our heart to receive the seed of the gospel. And the results will be righteousness. And the results will be praise. The results will be every single heart bearing witness of the goodness and of His faithfulness and of His testimony in our lives. You see, sometimes we don't want to admit who we were before we met Jesus, but it's in that very story, church. It's in that very story. When Christ has delivered you from addiction, when Christ has fully delivered you from bondage, when Christ has inhabited every single area of your heart that gives glory to His name, that gives the power and the witness to the glory of His name. But I want us to notice something in that verse. It says, "He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus." And so what was the blessing of Abraham? Genesis 12 and 2 says this. He said, "I will make you into a great nation." He says, "And I will bless you. And I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." He said, "I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Amen? It says, all the people will be blessed through you. And so to the church, that is this, is if God has already brought you from the pit to the palace, then never forget that it does not stop there. That is, you are blessed to be a blessing. What we are sowing into the lives of this world has everything to do with not being under the law, but being made righteous in faith. Amen? That is, coupling our works with our faith and seeing the fullness of the gospel displayed wherever we go. Amen? He is calling the church to step out from the religious and step into the righteous life that He has gifted you and I. Because it's on this side, church, of the veil that the kingdom now exists. It's how it's always been intended to operate. And so I have to say this, church, that this church isn't going to grow in the Lord. That is, the body of Christ isn't going to grow in the Lord, or we're not going to see new souls receive Christ by doing the things of old in repetition. The Lord is doing something new. And this is going to require you and I giving everything to Him. All of us to Him. We're not going to see souls come to Jesus just by doing the same old thing, but it's going to grow by taking the Spirit of God, and it's going to sow into the community. Taking the very Spirit of the resurrected Christ, living inside of your heart, and releasing upon every person that you come in contact with. This is your praise, church, and this is your testimony. Amen? Has our need, think about this, has our need never met His supply? Has what you have needed in this life never met His supply? You've seen what God takes, what we have and what we've been given, and He multiplies it. That is, God makes it into something suitable that He is able to work with, but we have to give Him what's available to us. You may see a need in your finances and say, God, this is my last dollar, and He says, I'll take it and I'll make it into 100. Because once I bless it, it will grow. And once I speak over it, it will prosper. And He will do the exact same thing through your life, church. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 15 says, as evening approached, the disciples came to Jesus and said, this is a remote place and it's getting late, so send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. In other words, He was saying, just send them away so that they could find what they need. And Jesus replied, He said, they do not need to go away. He says, you give them something to eat. The opportunity to witness is around you every moment. The opportunity to share Christ is around you every single day. But dare I say, we have the attitude of the disciples saying, Lord, send them away. Send them to somebody else. Send them to somebody because I don't have what they need. And Jesus is saying, you give them something to eat. They said, here we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He says, bring them here to me, He said. And He directed the people to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven, He gave thanks and He broke the loaves. And then He said to the disciples, He gave it to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to all people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. You see, the number of those who ate was about 5,000 men besides women and children. Now the point is look at what the divine provision of God. He gave them 1,000 times more than what they had. And the Lord will work through your life 1,000 times more than what you're able to give. But you have to give something. The seed that has been planted in your life, the very work of God that He is doing in you, must be sown into the life of someone else. Galatians 6 and 7 says, do not be deceived. It says, God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. It says, but the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. It says, so let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. It says, therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, even especially those who belong to the family of believers. Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7 says, they sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. It says the stalk has no head. It says it will produce no flower. It says were it to yield grain, it says foreigners would swallow it up. What does that mean? That means that inaction is disobedience. Saying no to testifying of Christ's goodness is simply saying no to His plan. Sowing wind means sowing nothingness. Has God provided us with nothing, or has He provided us with everything? I believe, church, that I'm sure that if we thought about it long enough that we'd realize that the Lord has given us all we need to fulfill His work. But the increase doesn't happen unless we deposit what we have into a life of need. You have a powerful, powerful testimony. The things that God has brought you through and the work that He's doing in your life, somebody needs to hear. And as the Lord is growing you, that is, you do not stop sowing. So it doesn't mean that you just have to arrive at this place. It means that you can sow into the life of somebody today. You can bless them with the gospel today. You can share the love of Jesus to whomever you meet. And so Jesus didn't stop sowing. He kept giving and depositing into the lives of others until His very last breath. church, your work is not done. I said, your work is not done. And I pray that you've been reminded this evening to let the dirt do its work. That is, you might have a hard time admitting your story or releasing to God those areas of your life that you've tried to bury. Listen, let the Lord work. Let the Lord work in that spot. Let the Lord work in that area of your heart. But you might have a hard time admitting your story, but that's the very testimony that will bring God glory. Amen. That is for others to know how far he's brought you, from what sin he has delivered you, and from how messed up you were to how complete you have now become. No flower stands without the dirt that it's planted in. And with Christ in your heart, you are no longer a wretched person, amen? But you are a new creation in him. I said, you are a new creation. There's that saying that says, in God's garden, there are no weeds, but it doesn't mean that there wasn't a gardener that had to get dirty. You see, that is, you may have the fear of reaching out to others because of association and judgment from people around you. But listen, I'd rather be associated with fulfilling God's work than be judged by others who are condemning another's worth. You see, and whether you've realized today that God can make you righteous or you're allowing him to produce something new in your life, we're all being called to receive his work to show us our worth. I want us to think about this just for a second. God loves his creation unconditionally, church. And while we are not worthy of his love, he thought us worthy to die for. Said he thought you worthy to die for. That is, he loves you passionately. He loves you tremendously. When I accepted the Lord into my life, when I felt for the first time God's unconditional love, I felt a weight lifted off of my shoulders. And I felt this wholeness and this completion that I had never felt in my life. You see, for many, many years, I was never able to fulfill certain things that I had ever wanted to do in my life. I was very, very sick, and I was very, very incapacitated by asthma and by allergies and by sickness, and that I couldn't, you know, fulfill certain things in my life. But when Jesus came into my life, church, when the love of God got a hold of my heart, he began to do a work inside of me that I cannot even explain. The words that I would say won't even do it justice. All I know is that I finally had an encounter with the living God. I finally had an encounter with the God that loved me more than I could ever love myself, more than family could ever love me. And he taught me through seasons of life. He taught me even in my mess, even in the filthy things that I had done, even in the worst things that I had done, he taught me something, and he began to produce a work in my life. And I want you to know something today is that your life is not too dirty that God cannot clean it up. Your life is not too broken that God cannot repair it. Your life is not too filled with curses and burden that God cannot lift all of those things off of your life. But all you've got to do is simply receive that seed of Jesus into your heart. And so maybe you've never received Christ into your life, or it's possible that you haven't given him full access to your heart. I want to pray with you today. The Bible says it was through Jesus and only through the blood of Jesus that he has become the way, the truth, and the life. And no one goes to the Father. That is, no one has access to heaven unless they come through Jesus. Or maybe you are a person that has been in the church for many, many years and you say, Pastor Duke, you know, there's things that I have held back from God. There's things that, there's areas in that dirt in my heart that I have just not allowed God to get into. Listen, I pray today in the name of Jesus that you'll confess that sin, that you'll let those things go and you'll let the Lord work in your life so that you can be completely freed and completely healed in Jesus' name. Or maybe you're a person that says, Pastor Duke, the Lord has transformed my life and he's done something in me. Then listen, get to work. There are souls that need to know about the goodness of the Savior that you've found. about the goodness of God that you know today. Amen. And so if you would bow your heads with me tonight. If you've never received Jesus into your heart, that is, you've never confessed him as your Lord, or you've never believed in the work that he's done for you, today I pray that the Holy Spirit is just ministering to you right now. And Father, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, that every heart, God, that is just, Lord, inclining towards you today, Lord, would receive you fully. God, we don't receive you, God, from the good things that we have done, Lord. We receive you for the good work that you finished. And that is when you paid the price for our sins, when you died upon the cross for our sins, Lord. You gave us, Lord, the access, God. And you gave us, Lord, Father, that place, Lord, where we could be made whole and pure and righteous before you. And so, Father, I pray for those, Lord, today that are just stepping forward, God, and they want to know you, Jesus. I pray right now in the name of Jesus, God, that every single broken area, God, every single dirty work, God, every single, Lord, filthy thing, Lord, every single thing, Lord, that you detest, God, right now would just be broken off them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, God. Set every single heart and every single mind, Father. Set them free, Father God, from bondage and addiction, God, and sin right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. And your promise to us, Father God, is that when we have confessed you as Lord, God, you will, Father God, separate our sin as far as the east is from the west, God, to remember it no more. And so listen, if you're coming to Jesus right now, I want you to pray this simple prayer. Say, Jesus, I receive you into my life. Say, I receive you into every area of my heart. And today I believe in what you did for me. I believe that you died for me. And I confess today that you are my Lord. And from this day on, I will let the Holy Spirit transform me, change me, and make me into a new person. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Father, I pray right now, Lord, for every single listening ear, God. Maybe there has been somebody, God, that has heard this message, God, and their heart, Lord, has gotten hard, Lord. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you would break off those things, Lord. You would break off those things, God, off of their hearts, Lord, that, Lord, they haven't, Lord, allowed you to step into, God. They haven't allowed you to work in, God. But, Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that, Lord, Father, your seed, God, would fall on good soil, Lord. That, God, Lord, they desire, God, to please you, Lord. They desire, Father, to be made righteous and whole, God. And so, Father God, as they confess, Lord, these things, Lord, as they confess, Lord, the things that they might have done, God, that has not pleased your heart, God, as they confess these things before you tonight, Father, may they find the freedom, God, that they have always needed, Lord. Set them free right now in the name of Jesus. Set them free, God. Renew the attitude of their minds, God. Renew their hearts, God, from condemning people, God. Renew their mindset, Father God, to be your mind, Lord. And so that, God, Lord, when we, Father God, come in contact with people that don't believe like us, or when we come in contact with people that don't believe, God, we wouldn't be afraid, God, to touch them, Lord. We wouldn't be afraid to reach out to them, God. But, Father, we would get close like Jesus did, God. And, Father, we would embrace them with his love, Lord. We would tell of his goodness, God. And we would show them, God, what it looks like, God, to live a righteous life before you, Lord. Because, God, the condition in which we come to you, Lord, does not matter. But it's the transforming condition, God, and the transforming power of an encounter with the Holy Spirit, God, an encounter with the power of your love, God, that marks us for life, Lord, that we leave, God, completely transformed and changed, never to be the same. And so, Father, mark us with encounters tonight, God. Mark us with encounters tonight, Holy Spirit. Mark us with a new work, God, of your Spirit, Lord, we pray. That our hearts would be shifted, God, to be like the heart of Jesus, Lord. Who, when Mary Magdalene encountered him, Father, she wept, God. She wept, Lord, and she worshiped him, God. And And she gave him her very sacrifice of her life, Lord. And God, I pray, Father, that, Lord, we would never forget, God, that we are just as much of a sinner as everyone else, Lord. But Lord, when we came to you, God, when we came to you, Father, it shifted everything inside of us, Lord. And God, we went from being orphaned to now being children of the Almighty God. We went from being lost, God, to now being found by your power and by your mercy, Lord Jesus. And so we owe you everything, God. We owe you a life of complete surrender, Father. Break us, God, and mold us and make us, Lord, into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, every single day. Every single day. So that your kingdom's work, God, can flow through our life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen, and amen, and amen. God is good. Amen, church. I said the Lord is good. And so I pray, church, that if you came across this message tonight, listen, if you did not know the Lord, I pray that you know him now and that heaven is just rejoicing over you today. And I also pray for you, church, that the Lord continues to do a work in your life and through your life. Listen, you've got someone to reach. Amen. That is, the work is not finished yet. The Lord wants to use you to reach someone in these last days. And so listen, if you joined us tonight for the first time, we thank you so much. I thank you so much for tuning in. Listen, share this post with somebody. Share this message with somebody. And most of all, listen, if you came to Jesus today, tell somebody that you came to Jesus. Amen. The Lord is doing a new work in your life from this day forward. On our website, we have a connect card on there. And you can jump on our website and you can find that there. Listen, if you came to Jesus, we want to know about it. We want to be able to serve you and just help you again connect in this new relationship with Christ. Amen. And we want to serve you as you go on this journey just like we are. And so if God is also doing something in your life, listen, if you have a testimony through one of the messages you've heard or God just used you in a powerful way, listen, message us. Send us a message through our Facebook, or you can comment on this video, or you can even send us an email to our church email. You'll find that on our website. But we want to know what the Lord is doing in your life. Amen. Because we want to give God all the praise that he deserves. Amen. We don't want to overlook any testimony or any work that he has done in the lives of our people. Amen. And so we love you, church. We thank you so much once again for joining us.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.